Troubles me, for its beat suggests an order which I have never known. Its high-speed chattering implies a friendliness which is foreign to me, and its dampness, as soft and comforting as a caress, is a gentleness which escapes me. I sit in the attic room and listen to the rain, but I am not consoled, for a deceit overshadows me, which is more urgent than the need for heaven. Yet, it is related to that eternal yearn, for how can one contemplate his future life until he is certain of his present life? The question enrages me. The answer overwhelms me. That I shall be unable to hear the rain for all eternity is my one big regret. But Titania has no regrets, no large regrets. She is too thin to carry the weight of regrets on her person. She may store them in her closet, if her closet is not too full of dreams already, but she wouldn't be caught dead with a regret on her. But I must get on with this introduction. Titania, you're on! She is not ready. She makes the most elaborate preparations for an appearance of any kind. She is as vain and as particular about her entrances as a celebrated actress, but her vanity is unreal. Her vanity stems from her pride, but it is an offshoot of that pride and operates in a fashion which is similar to the growth of an ingrown toenail. As the nail grows inward, Titania grows down. Heights dizzy her, but depths soothe her, as refreshingly as cool water rippling the foot of a clam. Her vanity originates in her gestures, that glissando of arm, punctuated sharply with a stare and followed by a nervous flutter of eyelids, releases a flurry of little vanities which she sheds to the passing breezes. The operation is known as wind pollination in some circles, air pollution in others, but it is more closely associated with the excited sparks which are given off by a fire under pressure, as though a wire were overloaded with electricity. She is knitted together by an electrical current which is overvolted. Tension is tantamount. Her nerves share their sheaths with a current which swells her ganglia outrageously. She is powdering her behind. She calls it dusting her behind. Flagrantly, she swishes the puff in the powder box and ladles the contents on her bottom until white clouds envelop her. At first, I think, her bottom is smoking, but she assures me that it is more than that. "My ass is on fire," she says. "Quick, the extinguisher." She grabs the bottle of perfume with the atomizer apparatus on top and squirts it in the vicinity of the smoke, the source of the confusion. The perfume does not blanket the smoke, but it does render an ass vapor harmless. I swear that the odor was irrepressible, but Titania just swears. She sneaks her legs into a pair of slacks. She doesn't forget her underwear. She deliberately omits it. She wiggles into the sheerest of her sheer silk shirts, the light, high blue one, which she calls a vaporous blue. Then she slips her feet into sandals, which are really moccasins of soft white leather. Since she got them on sale, they are too big for her, but they don't flop, for she curls her toes in a gesture of narcissism, which she does not understand, but which holds them securely on her feet. When she uncurls her toes, she creates a flap, a little noise which announces her approach or adds a flounce to her attire. She places two pendant earrings of immodest size in the center of a hanky. She folds the hanky and tucks it in her pocket. "For later," she winks, "so I can dawdle in the john." "Going reckless tonight," she says, slipping her wallet in the hip pocket without the button, "to court a feel." Then she gives her coiffure a tiny fluff, gazes into the mirror on the door of the medicine cabinet, takes a leak, smells her fingers, and heads for the bar, just the right bar, the one which she calls her club, Sparafusile's Bar and Grill.